the looming decision that will have to be made at some point by the Dallas Cowboys, whether or not to lock up Dak Prescott long term.
Yes.
I believe he will become a free agent in 2020.
Yes, but the team probably needs to decide where they're headed within the next 60 days. Because if you get to that final year, now you're introducing franchise tags and things of that nature, which are just flat out 100% bad business as a general rule. Franchising a quarterback is a short-term situation that actually puts you in a rather deep hole financially, to now you have spent a ton of money but received no security because of it.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal because, you know, the Cowboys, with what they're paying him right now, it's exceptionally low. His average per year salary right now is $680,000. And
they'll get next year at what, 720 or something like that? Even next year.
Yeah, but I'm just saying through the life of his contract, I think the average per year is 680.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But if you are talking about even like Andy Dalton, who we are not that impressed with, right? He makes an average of $16 million a year. Tannehill is Andy Dalton light, right? Because at least Andy Dalton can, or at least has, gotten to the playoffs on a regular basis. Tannehill, when they signed him, his average, $19 million a year. And, you know, the going rate type thing, it seems to be like the minimum. If you got it on the sweetest of sweetheart deals, you'd be paying him $20 million a year. But I just don't think that that's probably even realistic. Let's look at Garoppolo, right? He's a more recent signing, $27.5 million a year for a guy who had a few good games, but a lot of potential. You, of course, know Kirk Cousins signed in the offseason, so if you let a guy with the Kirk Cousins resume get to the free agent market, that's a lot of the question, right? Well, what if Dak was free? What would he get? That's what I would want to pay him, right? Well, $28 million a year, guaranteed, as a matter of fact. Matt Ryan is another one signed somewhat recently. I can't recall.
This past summer.
Really? Was he just this summer?
I believe he was.
And he's at $30 million a year, and he's certainly got a more impressive resume than Dak. But that's where, so you've got this looming, and a lot of thought is, gosh, like you even said before, I can't remember what segment it was we were trying to relate somebody to somebody, you're like, well, like, we're all convinced Zeke is the real deal. He's awesome.
When it Luca, comes to Luca and Dennis.
When it comes to running backs in the NFL, very few better than Zeke. He's in the top handful. The jury is definitely out on Dak. What week is it on what does the general population think of Dak overall? Mm-hmm. You know? Even now as they've been winning some games, the you know, you wonder is what, how instrumental is Dak to all of that? It seems you could do a lot worse than Dak, but it seems you can do a lot better than Dak as well. So I guess in this so in the next segment we're going to do things a little different, where I think you're going to break down some things. But this segment we wanted to kind of lay it out there, the pros and the cons.
Okay.
And to do that, we have chosen Bob to be on the pro that you need to sign Dak, and list a few things that you think can back up your the stance of pro. And Jake is going to take the stance of con. And, you know, you've seen these done in the newspaper, right? Hey, guys, write two different articles here.
Yep.
For and against, because I think there's... I'm not exactly sure where I stand.
Okay.
I think I would lean against. However, I'm not sure what, you know, like if you do lean against, what's your answer then? What are you going to do? Are you, you know, are you going to start over in the search for a quarterback? Because certainly you've, you remember just a couple of years ago when you were cycling through your Whedon and your other, also, you know, you've, it's a tough time between Aikman and Romo. That was a very dark period.
Well, let's start
Some franchises have gone through like decades of a dark period, so pro Dak.
Okay, let's start with the idea that you can fix all this by taking one in the first round. If you go back nearly 20 years, Dan, and you take all the first-round quarterbacks who were not taken in the top five, okay? If you have a top five pick, I recommend you take a quarterback. In fact, I did recommend you do that in 2016 and not let Goff or Wentz get away from you when you're picking fourth. But if you did it, if you took a quarterback in the last 20 years in the first round but not in the top five, there have been 28 taken. Only six have started for five seasons with their team. Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger are good. Joe Flacco and Jay Cutler are better than bad, but not great. Jason Campbell and Ryan Tannehill are pretty much bad. So those are that's the entire list of first-round quarterbacks that have made it 5 years with their team. So basically, we'll just draft a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. I would like to say highly, highly unlikely. I would say Roethlisberger and Rodgers are clearly better than Dak Prescott. That gives you a 2 in 28 chance, roughly lower than 10%. Okay, we'll start there.
I wonder who the quarterbacks, in fact, that were drafted outside the top couple in Dak's year, weren't there?
There were.
At least a couple?
I did not put that in my presentation, Your Honor.
I'm just remembering that Jerry wanted to keep trading for other quarterbacks.
Connor Cook, Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
Those were the two big names.
Okay.
Okay. Since Dak Prescott, one thing I always hear is I don't want to go 8-8. I don't want to be mediocre. That's why I don't want to re-sign Dak Prescott. I have good news for you. Since Dak Prescott has been starting for you at quarterback, only three franchises have won more games than the Dallas Cowboys. He has won two out of every three starts he's had with a win on Sunday. That would be completely factual. Right now, you're going to have to settle for 65.9%. He is 29-15 as starter. Only the New England Patriots, Kansas City Chiefs, and Pittsburgh Steelers have won more games in the last 3 years. That means nobody in the NFC has won more games during the Dak Prescott tenure than the Dallas Cowboys themselves. But you're saying to me, well, that's not a quarterback stat. That is a team stat, and I agree with you. So let's look at quarterback stats, and let's make a list of all of the quarterbacks who have been able to outperform Dak Prescott as a passer over the stretch. Well, in fact, let's go to guys in their first 3 years. Again, over the last 20 years, guys who have produced more touchdowns than Dak Prescott's 76. Now, he has four more games in his first 3 years, but he has passed for 59, run for 17. Guys with a higher number than 76 in their first three seasons. Here you go. Andrew Luck. Let's see, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton did it, Russell Wilson did it, and I think Cam Newton, and that's your entire list. So I've given you a list of five guys. You might say, well, those aren't great quarterbacks. I don't think Derek Carr and Andy Dalton's a great quarterback. I'm not here to argue that. I'm here to argue that those teams did not think twice about extending them because they knew they could not do better. Is Dak Prescott an A-plus quarterback? No. Is he a B-plus quarterback? Maybe not. Is he a B-minus quarterback? Absolutely, by every single metric available, he is at least a B-minus quarterback. So you can do way better than Dak Prescott. I would like to see how you plan on doing that with any sort of possibility other than merely buying a lottery ticket. He produces touchdowns amongst quarterbacks in their first 3 years. He throws nearly zero interceptions relative to the league average. The only guys, there's been one modern quarterback in his first three seasons with a lower pass interception percentage than Dak Prescott. His name is Jared Goff. The Rams are going to be keeping him as well. He has a 95 quarterback rating. He has produced 76 touchdowns against just 22 turnovers, so he doesn't turn the ball over interceptions. He's 25 years old. You have him on the books next year for $700,000. This, my friends, despite the fact that he has three plays a game that make you crazy, I would argue, A, that he has 65 plays a game, and B, those three are not pick sixes. They are missed guys. They're incomplete passes. That sucks. He does not get you beat. This is a no-brainer.
Your counterpoint, Jake?
You doing here?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing is that when you're listing quarterbacks that are taken outside of the top five, as I think that that's much easier now than it was several years ago. I think that's evidenced by your Josh Rosen, your Lamar Jackson, your Deshaun Watson, your Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think it's, if you're willing to let guys play the offense they played in college more, I don't think you have to be picking one, two, or three to get a guy who can be pretty good pretty fast. The second thing is, I think in all these things, what you're trying to do is figure out what would this player be if he were on a perfectly normal average roster. That's kind of the best way to think about judging them. So even if you don't consider quarterback wins a quarterback stat, still their stats that come with them are related to the team around them. I'm not planning for what Dak will be next year or the year after that. I'm planning for what he'll be when he's 31 and he's making $40 million, or we can discuss that later, but whatever it is. And his offensive line is nowhere near what it was before. Zeke is on another team.
Like, you're theorizing the roster has to be different if your quarterback is taking up that money.
Because typically all the quarterbacks that we're judging as guys who are at the top of their class are joining teams that suck.
Yeah, okay.
They join teams that suck, and you have to judge them against rosters that suck. Prescott arguably joined the best roster that a starting rookie quarterback has joined in how long? A decade plus?
Jared Goff?
Jared Goff, his first year, but I'm talking about
Todd Gurley, he joined
three All-Pros on your offensive line, plus Jason Witten, a number four overall pick at running back, and declining but still good, Dez Bryant. Was the Rams offensive line the best in the league Goff's first year or second year? Or
let's not get bogged down in that, but there's another somewhat comp, but all right.
My point is just that if you're projecting out what he's going to be in the future, you cannot do that without accounting for the fact that it is very likely that his roster around him, both offensively and defensively, will not be as good. If you're factoring what he looks like whenever he's only making $750,000, subtract $20 million from the roster around him and then try to project out what you think he can be. I think that will require him to throw a little more. I don't think that you can count on a guy to rely on his run game whenever he's paid as a highly compensated quarterback, because then you cannot have three or four of the highest paid offensive linemen at their position and one of the highest paid running backs and one of the highest paid receivers and one of the highest paid pass rushers to get you the ball back. We need to figure out if he can do what Russell Wilson does, which is still be good after the team around him completely falls apart, and that hasn't even really worked that well. So if you consider him a slight downgrade below Russ and project out the same deterioration of their roster, that does not portend well to me at all. And as far as what I would do, I would probably like to not trade first-round picks so that I can at least get a guy in here to compete with him, even if that guy's picked 16 or 17, and then I at least have an option whenever I'm making this decision, as opposed to being over a barrel by a guy who's produced a lot of wins, and I don't want to go back to what it was like before Romo. Like, he really has them by the balls.
One of the things I like to think of, too, is like, so a Dalton, or let's say Tannehill. Tannehill's a good example, I think, because he's pretty good, and they're like, well, what if you don't? Like, do you feel the Dolphins are happy they did what they did? They locked him up to a big deal.
Now, to be fair, Dak has had a lot more success than Tannehill has, but I don't know that they're that far apart skill-wise.
And that's what I'm saying. Certainly Dak, based on his success that you laid out, Bob, you'd lock him up for all the money right away.
I wouldn't do that. But I would recognize that of young quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and Matt Ryan won more games. I mean, it's a real short list. He has the same number of wins as Ben Roethlisberger, and he has four more games to go. He's going to pass Ben Roethlisberger's first 3 years, and those 3 years included a 15-1 rookie season. I mean,
and a Super Bowl appearance.
If you're telling me he can't win, then you're not watching. And if you're telling me his roster's loaded, then you're being disingenuous, because he had no wide receivers and no tight ends when the season started. Now, he was bad during those games, but let's not act like he has a superpower at his fingertips.
No, he doesn't, but if we're going back to year one when his roster was the best, he was obviously phenomenal.
That's fair.
And if we're trying to find an average middle ground there, which is probably what you're going to have, about an average middle ground roster around you if you're a pretty well-compensated quarterback, I'm trying to figure out what he'll be with that.
What if he helps get you to double-digit wins with the 2018 offense? And you haven't had your offensive line the entire season?
Do you evaluate all the games?
You had Amari Cooper for eight games?
Do you weigh in at all the games when Zeke wasn't here last year?
I think you have to. You have to look at everything.
But that's what I'm doing also.
Yeah.